give credit. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. One of my favorite stories that Ray always told was about one time decades ago when they were in the parish center down the road here. They were having a meeting and somebody stopped in there and they said, what a complex is this? And they told them it was cooperative, different churches work together to do good ministries in the community. And the person said, well, may I have a glass of water, please? And they gave him a glass of water, and he left. And so it's a short story, but it's had a long impact on Ray and on the ministries of our whole parish to this day, and the ministries that we have and for our church, too. It continues to be a story, the story of doing a little tiny bit of good that then has a ripple effect for generations to come. So we never know what that little tiniest bit of good we do. Just a kind word, or a smile, or something, anything that we can do, how much of a benefit that really is. In that moment, and maybe even more in decades to come as it moves out, inspires somebody to do something that we could never do ourselves because just of a kind word or a smile that we gave or acceptance or some way that we did something good. Even just a little cup of water given in my name will not lose its reward, Jesus said. In our denomination, we have three general rules. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. General rule number two was do good. Our book of discipline has the descriptions that go back to the earliest days of Methodism before it was ever called Methodism. It was called the United Societies, and it was some college students, and they all had all these different opinions. They came from different church backgrounds. They were kind of radical, really, like that. That they thought that even with all their differences, they could be united into a holy club that would study God's word, that would encourage each other to live up to whatever standards that they themselves had reached about the gospel, to live up to the rules that they made for themselves, each as and to encourage and strengthen each other in their own faith like this, and they thought that just might work. So they had, the door was wide open to anyone who didn't want to fear God's wrath anymore, anyone who was willing, who was serious about following Christ, anyone who wanted to live in peace and harmony with their neighbor, to live out their relationship with Christ. To them, they said, "Give me your hand." Regardless of all these other differences in lifestyle and beliefs and everything else might be. So it's always kind of been like a struggle through then as it is now of how we get along with each other in that kind of environment. But there were these three expectations that were given to all that wanted to participate. And that's not new. That comes from the Bible. That comes from the gospel. Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That was an expectation that came with that free forgiveness. He told a parable about somebody that was invited to a wedding, and everybody was invited, anybody and everybody, doors wide open. But one guy was reprimanded because of his attire, because he accepted the invitation, but he didn't really have any respect for what everybody was actually doing there. And there's some other examples too that are given about the expectations that are on us. you look at several of his stories and parables, you'll see that in Christ. The doors are wide open, but if you're going to continue with this, there are some expectations. They take this seriously. They respect what we're doing and that you are intentional about your faith. And that was what these early Methodists did. It was expected of all that they should continue to evidence their desire of salvation by doing good, by being in every kind merciful after their power as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort and as far as possible to all men, to their bodies of the ability which God giveth, by giving food to the hungry, by clothing the naked, by visiting or helping them that are sick or in prison, to their souls by instructing, recruiting, or exhorting all that we have any intercourse with, cramming underfoot that enthusiastic doctrine that we are not to do good unless our hearts be free to it, by doing good, especially to them that are of the household of faith, or groaning so to be, employing them preferably to others, buying one of another, helping each other in business, and so much the more because the world will love its own and them only. By all possible diligence and frugality, that the gospel be not blamed. By running with patience the race which is set before them, denying themselves, taking up their cross daily, submitting to bear the reproach of Christ, to be as the filth and offscouring of the world, and looking that all men should say all manner of evil of them falsely for the Lord's sake. So do good. Do good to their body. There's only so much we can do to support people physically. We're not expected to just go beyond our means in doing so. But there are limitations and parameters on that as we study the scriptures. But we do also see in that rule, and that description of this brief rule is deep roots in the scriptures and the teachings of Christ. Only inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, Jesus said. When he said some of what is really quoted from that passage in Matthew 25. So there are limits. The apostles themselves had those limits. Remember that story we read one time in the book of Acts that the apostles were going to the temple to pray. And they encountered there a beggar sitting out in front. And he looked at them expecting to receive something, the Bible says. And they looked at him and they said, silver and gold have I none, Peter said. But in what we do have, we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately, the man stood up and walked. So we have to accept the limitations of what we can do in one area in order to discover the wide open possibilities that are ours in another. The power and the strength and the opportunity. What if Peter and John had some money that day and they pulled out their money and they gave the guy $3, but it would be a whole different story. We wouldn't be reading about the story in anything. That wouldn't have made it into the Bible. The man's life would have been changed only in some way, but not in the way it was. And they themselves, think of the blessing that they carried with them the rest of their lives, knowing that when they didn't have any money to give this man, they had something way more valuable, way more powerful to exercise in their lives. They ministered to his body spiritually in a way that brought healing to his body and his soul and to the community and to us here today still talking about it and everybody in between us from that time to this who has meditated on that passage or considered it in any way has been receiving a blessing and healing and inspiration from that moment. From just a brief moment, just a passing moment. Joyfully accept our limitations, whatever they may be, as individuals, congregation, families. Do what we can and in one way, and then look for how God opens up the doors for us to do something else that we hadn't even thought of in another way. And receive that blessing and extend that blessing. In this rule, we have the with diligence. There was an expectation that we do this kind of on the side as we, you know, if we think of it, but we can work, we can pray, and do it with diligence. Due diligence, you know, is how we often decide. It's an expectation in everything else we do, in our jobs, you know, in the reports that we might give, or anything else that we do, you know, in government, everything else, we expect people to do due diligence. We don't expect them just to sloppily do something and then consider that to be okay. And the same with our faith, with our prayer, and our giving, and our doing of good. Do it with diligence. Do it intentionally. Be intentional about doing good. This is an opportunity that's important. And the story of the widow's mite was where that woman just gave a couple of coins, and that was all she had. Yet when Jesus observed it, he called all his disciples over there, and he told them, this woman, in giving those two little coins, has actually given more than all the other people put together that have made offerings today. Why? Because they gave of their abundance. But she gave her poverty. She gave all she had to live on to the kingdom of the Lord. And, her offering was most important because, not because of the amount, or really the percentage, but because it was what she could do. She did what she could do. It was her part. She gave what she could give. And it was blessed. There's a few other stories in the Bible about people's offerings. The first one in the Bible is about Cain and Abel. That's not a very good legacy on Abel's part about that offering. So there's offerings in the Bible. Hers kind of stands out to us amongst all of them, doesn't it? If we remember anybody else's offering, this is the one that stands out to us. Because it meant the most. And, one of those is when Jesus was preaching and a young man brought two fishes and five loaves. And that was not anything for all of those people. Jesus multiplied that offering, small as it was. That's all that he had. That's all he could really do. But he did what he could do. And it was turned out to be more than enough by the time that Jesus got done with it. And that's how it is for us. That little tiniest bit that we see that we might be able to do in any given circumstance to do good. And that doesn't just mean our civic duty. That means, I think, in a very personal way, to the individuals that we care about and the people that whose lives we're a part of. Whenever we, the very tiniest thing that we can do for them, we should never underestimate that, whether it's a physical action or a prayer. Because look what these things have done. Look what has happened as a result. People have had their whole life changed. Generations have been set on a different direction. Our part is our part. There's unlimited problems to be solved around us, even in our own lives, more than we can do on our own. Then take on the lives of our family and our friends and neighbors and community and the church and the world. And, it's like, what is my little drop of water in all of that? What is my little, I'm just a little speck, like the psalmist would say. I'm just a little speck in all of this. What can I do? But we just do our part. I'm fascinated by pictures of the the inner workings of old mechanical clocks and watches, how have these little tiny things going on, spinning and doing this and doing that. You take one of those and mess it up, and the whole thing stops. It requires every little tiny cog in the little machine in order for it to work. In the machinery of life, each of us has our place, and it's extremely important that we fulfill that. And we will not lose our reward, even if that part is to give somebody a cup of water. We will not lose our reward. And the reward, I think, is best encompassed in everything that there is in the scripture. All the imagery, all the Bible stories, heaven, earth, everything that is there by these words of Jesus when he said, well done. We think about that being encompassing our personal reward at the end of this brief journey that we are rapidly moving through. And to hear Jesus say, you and to me, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So I'd like to close with John Wesley's rule attributed to John Wesley and used by the Methodist for these hundreds of years. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You won't lose your reward. In the name of Jesus.